Hello, everyone. I'm John Montoya.
And I'm John Pairings.
We're authorized infinite banking practitioners and hosts of the Strategic Whole Life Podcast.
Episode number 104, Live by the Rates, Die by the Rates. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Strategic Whole Life Podcast. John Pairings here with John Montoya. And in this episode, we're going to talk a little bit about rates and how the typical move of making decisions around rates is usually a reactive decision. And often when people look at whole life insurance, especially, they compare some rate variable to that rate variable of another financial product. And so today we're going to talk about why you're always in a better position when you use whole life insurance. So today's episode, I was at the IBC think tank, I guess a month or so ago now, and there's a pretty well-known insurance producer. He's actually named in Becoming Your Own Banker as one of the accreditations in the front cover. Vince Dodona was, I had a conversation with him, and we were talking, and he made the quote of, you know, you live by the rates and die by the rates. And that kind of spurred the idea for this particular episode. And what we're kind of talking about is, you know, when people are evaluating whole life insurance as a financial product that could fit into their financial life, a lot of times they'll take a variable like, you know, well, let's start with loan rates, because that was the most common one, you know, for the last 5 to 10 years, where, you know, we just came out of an incredibly low interest rate scenario in the world where loan rates were very, very low. You could, you know, I have clients that have mortgage rates at like 2.5%. And so they'd want to compare the policy loan rate, which was, depending on the carrier, let's just say it was 5%, you know, a policy loan rate was twice as high as a typical going rate of interest you could get from a bank. And so they would make those comparisons and say things like, well, why would I ever want to put my money into whole life insurance and pay 5% when I can get 2.5% at a bank? And, you know, those questions are, of course, valid, but the world doesn't always stay the same, does it? And so we wanted to have this conversation because, of course, now what we're seeing is, you know, going rates of interest from a bank are significantly higher than what you can get in a typical policy loan. So rates change. And so when you make reactive decisions based on the way rates are now, a lot of times you can get locked into a situation that becomes suboptimal in the future. I mean, just look at some of the commercial real estate loans out there where they bought properties at very low variable interest rates or very low rates, and now those loans are coming up, and we're going to start seeing, you know, a lot of commercial real estate come back on the market because those things are no longer palatable when they try to refinance it. So all these principles are true across the financial spectrum, but when it comes to whole life insurance, people live by the rates and die by the rates, where they make a short-term decision based on what the rates are now, and they find out that if they had only purchased whole life insurance when they originally were, you know, thinking about it, and the financial winds change, they'd find that they would actually be in a better position by having whole life insurance. But now they don't, so now they have to come up with another reason to buy whole life insurance, and now they're comparing the current rates to whole life insurance, and so it's a you're always stuck in this scenario where you could justify to yourself where it never makes sense. But in this episode, we want to talk about how life insurance always has a plus factor on one side of the equation or the other.
I think for me, taking a step back, and one of the things that I learned a lot from Nelson, but one of the things that really struck home a long time ago was what he said about interest rates being relative. When the interest rates are high for borrowing, they're also high for savings. So when we look at a whole life policy, you know, people will ask, well, what is the policy loan rate? And what is the the return, the internal rate of return on these policies, and they're pretty much going to match. When interest rates are high in the economy, well, the borrowing rates, like I said, to Nelson's point, are also going to be high. And if you were to look at the history of whole life policies, for example, in the 80s and how they were performing, you would see that the borrowing rate for policy loans were double digits. But what was matching that? The dividend scale, which was also double digits. Right. So interest rates are relative. Making a decision on a whole life policy based off what the policy rate is, Nelson would say you're majoring in the minors. Interest rates are relative. So I completely, at this point, I just dismiss it. And I try to tell the story so people understand you're majoring in the minors. This is, you know, if you're living and dying by the rates, you haven't solved the problem. Well, what's the problem? You don't actually have control over your money and your financing, and you're relying on a third party. You are literally living and dying by the rates that other entities are creating. So you need to step back and realize what's going on and solve for the problem at hand. And it's not that interest rates are high or low. It's that you don't have control over your financing and you are beholden and reliant to a third party. And so one of the biggest things that that whole life will solve for you is the ability to take back that control over your money and financing.
That's the crux of it. And, you know, control is really what we're going after. And the rates are really just end up being noise. That being said, I always think of the Seinfeld episode where they talk about that. That being said, what about rates though? And if we look at whole life insurance, the rates aren't always what we think they are, whether it's the growth rate of the policy or the loan rate. And the growth rate, Montoya just hit the nail on the head, where the growth rate is not always going to stay the same. You know, imagine someone that was looking at a life insurance policy 5 years ago and passed on it because they didn't think the growth rate was sufficient. And as we start to go into higher interest rates and the dividend rate starts to trail alongside the growing interest rates, and we start to see, you know, dividends paying out that just are way higher than anything you could get, you know, in a typical bank. At that point, now this person is going to look back and be like, man, I wish I had bought that whole life insurance policy. But they didn't, because they were reacting to the current rates. And an interesting episode, go back to episode 82, where I interviewed Todd Langford, and he talks about an article where it said something to the effect of, you know, bonds are going to destroy the investment system because bonds are now grossing 5.3%, which is being, you know, touted as more attractive than being in the market. And so what's interesting is it's a couple things. That number one, again, interest rates change. But number two is it tells us that people talk about getting high returns, but people's actions actually tell us that they, in fact, crave certainty. Meanwhile, life insurance on a net basis is doing way better than 5.3% on a gross basis. And so, you know, there's a lot of kind of disconnect in people's thought process out there in terms of what they do when it comes to the market alternatives and how they view life insurance. You know, the other side of things are the loan rates. And so again, you know, 10 years ago, or 5 years ago, say, you could get a much lower interest rate at a bank. And so why would I ever buy life insurance if I could get a lower interest rate at a bank? And now here we are 5 years later, And life insurance policy loan rates are looking really attractive. And so there's always some arbitrage on one side or the other when it comes to a whole life insurance policy. If interest rates are very low, you know, we would typically see, you know, we're getting like 40 times growth of what you could get at a typical bank when the interest rates at the interest rate you earned on your account was like 0.1%, you know, so life insurance was getting like 4% on a net basis, by the way. So, you know, there were some things that were beneficial there from a growth perspective. But at that time, the loan rates were significantly higher than what you could get at a bank, as obviously if you qualify at a bank. Now things are starting to change where you can start getting higher interest rates on your savings account or a CD. You know, those are starting to get up in that 4-5% range, which starts to compete with the growth of a whole life insurance policy, right? But dividends tend to trail the prevailing market rates. So if rates continue to stay high or continue to grow, we'll start seeing the dividend increase as well. So I think whole life insurance will always kind of maintain a little bit of an edge from a growth perspective. But what's happening now is we're seeing policy loan rates are lower than what you can get out in the market. And so live by the rates, die by the rates. There are people out there that declined buying whole life insurance policies because they were looking at specific rates and comparing those rates. Now that those rates are in a better situation, now they want to buy it, but now they're, you know, 5 years older and they may not even qualify anymore. And so it's always a reactive decision. And so the best time to buy life insurance is right now when you qualify, and it only gets better from there.
Yeah. People can't wrap their minds around something that gets better every single year for the rest of your life because, well, what is something, you know, that people can point to that gets better every single year? It's pretty hard to come up with some answers doing that thought experiment. But here we have whole life, which is by contract guaranteed to increase in value. It's guaranteed to get better every single year. And going a little bit deeper dive into the policy loan rate, whatever the policy loan rate is from the life insurance company, that is the nominal rate. So what do I mean by that? Let's say, I'll just use an example of a 5% policy loan rate. Now, policy loan rates are somewhere between 5 and 8%, depending on the insurance company. So I'll just use 5%. And when I say it's a nominal policy rate, what I mean by that is the insurance company is going to calculate the interest and do so not on a daily compounding rate. It's going to be simple interest. So they're going to calculate the balance each day during the policy year. And let's say that you didn't make any loan repayments on an outstanding balance. Well, your effective policy loan rate is going to hold at that 5%. But if you're being an honest banker, you take out a loan and you start making loan repayments, let's say once a month, like you would be forced to do in the traditional banking system, what's going to happen is that every single dollar of that monthly loan repayment is going to it's going to be credited against that loan balance. So you're going to effectively be reducing that loan balance dollar for dollar by every monthly loan repayment. And so what happens is at the end of your policy year on your anniversary date, the insurance company is going to calculate the interest due. They'll send out a statement. And what you'll notice is that, well, your balance has gone down because you've been making monthly loan repayments, and your effective policy rate is actually less than that 5% because they're only charging you interest based off your balance. And it's your daily balance, but it's calculated based off simple interest. So dollar for dollar, this is the best form of financing that you can possibly get, because any traditional bank loan, you're effectively paying compounding interest, and the bank always sets up the repayment terms so that interest gets paid first, right? And then everything else beyond the interest will then be applied to the principal. So it's kind of interesting. You know, if you had the same bank loan at 5%, well, with compounding interest, you're actually paying more than 5%. But with a policy loan, you're effectively paying less than 5% when you're making loan repayment each month. And most people miss out on that. They don't quite think that far ahead, but that's exactly what's happening. Now, you combine that with, let's say you have an internal rate of return of 4.5% in your policy, and your policy loan rate is 5%. You're going to do the simple mental math, and you're going to say, well, the interest on my loan is more expensive than the growth rate on the policy. And that's that on face value, that might be true. But if you were to actually run the numbers, your compounding rate, your effective rate of return in the policy could actually exceed your borrowing costs. And the reason why this is so is because within a whole life policy, you have the compounding of your cash value every single year. To get back to that point, it gets better every single year, regardless of whether you have a loan outstanding. And depending on how much you borrow out of your policy, let's say you have $100,000 in cash value, but you borrow 50% of it, $50,000. Well, 5% on $50,000 is what, $2,500 a year in interest? Well, $100,000 compounding at 5% is $5,000 in interest earned. Your interest earned is twice your interest cost. You're earning, for that year, you've earned $5,000 on $100,000 of cash value, and your interest calculated that's due on the loan of $50,000 is $2,500. So even though your policy loan rate can be greater than your internal rate of return, you can still have a positive arbitrage in your whole life policy. So there's far more to whole life and borrowing and the effective rate than just its nominal policy rates. And I guess that's the point I'm trying to make there.
If I could just tack on to that, the way that I try to explain it, and this is exactly what Montoya was saying, every time you make a policy loan repayment during your policy year, you're paying down the principal of the loan. And so as opposed to having the interest added first, all your payments pay down the principal, and then the insurance company calculates and charges the interest at the end of the policy year. And if you've made regular repayments back to that loan, you'll have paid down the principal on the loan, which lowers the amount that the interest is calculated on. So it's a critical part of the, you know, how policy loan interest works in comparison to a typical, you know, amortization schedule where that loan interest is calculated in arrears. And that makes a huge difference if you're making regular repayments back to it. And, you know, it just gets to the point of like, you know, a lot of times, again, when people make decisions, they're reacting to the prevailing winds, and they're not making decisions into the future. And so many people get burned on this, on so many different things financially, making decisions based on what's happening right now in a reactive mode rather than taking advantage of things that are happening right now in a proactive mode. And so when you're reacting, you're always behind the curve, right? I mean, you know, this, we did a whole episode on my martial arts background. If you're reacting to stuff, you're always behind the curve. It's really hard to catch back up. That's why people get sucker punched, because they're reacting to things that they can't really see yet. And so you're always behind the curve when you're making reactive decisions to the prevailing interest rates. Whereas if you think about the principles of what we're creating, which is a financial asset that has the power of large numbers behind it, the law of large numbers, this gives us arbitrage right off the bat in the form of actuarially discounted premiums to death benefit. And that death benefit, we create equity in that actuarially discounted death benefit, which creates cash value. So we're already making a strong financial decision without, you know, getting into the whole interest rate game. And when you're, again, when you're making decisions on interest rates today, you're just making a decision that's the wrong decision about interest rates tomorrow. So, you know, get on board with a financial product that gives you benefits no matter what the interest rates are. Maybe the growth rate is better. Maybe the loan rate is better. It doesn't really matter. But to Montoya's earlier thing, it's all about control. It's less about comparing what the rates are, and it's about bringing control back into your life and taking over the banking function.
I hear what you're saying, and it makes me think of time preference. You know, the people that are making decisions based on what rates are today, they're practicing high time preference. And this whole idea of whole life, we're securing a future death benefit. That's as low time preference as it gets. And especially because that death benefit is going to go to someone else. So there's so many components to whole life, but just the fact that people are making rash decisions using high time preference, they can't properly plan for the future. So it hits home when you're talking about, you know, the type of person who would make a decision not to buy a whole life policy because they can get cheaper loans someplace else. They're really not understanding infinite banking, and they're not listening to the words that Nelson put to paper in his book. Probably haven't read his book, I would imagine. But there's so much wisdom there. And just to step back out of the moment to practice low time preference, it's so crucial to future planning. The thing where I'll end on this thread for me is having options. And we've discussed this before, and always having options is a good thing. When you back yourself in a corner where your only option is to have to agree to a third-party lender on their terms, you're stuck. And that's really when you're going to have to be practicing high time preference, because you have no other options. Whole life insurance, it's going to put you in a better position so that you can start to think many decades ahead, as Nelson would talk about. You can practice low time preference. And to end on, for me, what we're talking about here, living by the rates, dying by the rates, you can practice low time preference and not have to make rash decisions because you have options at your disposal. You can borrow from your whole life policy or choose not to, but always better to have options.
Well, it's great that you brought up time preference, because that actually is where interest rates come from, is time preference, where if you have a high time preference, you value using that money sooner to buy something. And if you have a low time preference, you have less of a preference to use that money, and you can actually save that money, is the, you know, just super basic way of saying it. But that's actually the rate of interest. It's the interest is your interest in how much you want to use that money now versus later. And so the rate of interest is your rate of your desire to use money now versus later. So it's a nice little tie-in there, Montoya.
And for the nerds out there who would really like to study the history of interest rates, there are two books I'd like to recommend. The first one is The Price of Time, and the second one is Lords of Easy Money. You read those two books, it's going to lead you down a rabbit hole on interest rates. So I read those two books last year, and all I can say to borrow from my father-in-law, wow.
And if you want to get really nerdy, you can You can, I got Murray Rothbard back there, Man, Economy, and State. You can get really deep, which is, that's, you know, Austrian economics, which is what, infinite banking is based on. And, it's really what, it's a way to put Austrian economics into practice. Awesome, John. Thank you. And if, for you listening out there, if this was resonating with you at all and you want to learn more about how the infinite banking concept or whole life insurance could apply in your life specifically, head over to our website, strategicwholelife.com, and you can book a free 30-minute consultation with us right there. You can also get access to our online course if you're the type of person who just likes to learn and read as much as you can before talking to anyone. You can go to strategicwholelife.com, and there's a link to our course, IBC Mastery, right there at the top of the page. All right. I think that wraps it up. Thanks, John Montoya.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Perrins. Thank you, everyone. Take care.